Blog.
Wow.
That was not even what I was trying to play. GLaDOS, really?
There we go. I heard Blog Talk and then it stopped. I was like, oh, great.
Wow.
I know I'm not signing in. Thank you. Thank you for being here. And did you see all the retweets?
Like,
Ryan, I don't know if people are still picking this up.
Sometimes we get a lot of love. This game always, I feel like it is the opening montage of GTA 4, but I feel like I should be in the montage, like, you know, cleaning my gun and stuff. And
girl,
putting on my stilettos, you know, here's what I'm putting on my stilettos and my lipstick. And we put the gun in the bra and I walk outside and they show the shifty look in the eyes because, you know, I'm about to go hurt somebody. Now, let me...
This should have been my theme music last night because that's exactly what I was thinking. I'm about to go hurt somebody.
You know, remember that HUD that you used to have in SL, where you could decapitate people?
I still have it.
I met somebody that had one that was even cooler than that.
Yeah, mine's old and broken. I need to save up.
But I'm thinking I'm going to have to get me one. This guy had one that had a... he kept telling me, he says, okay, I want you to try to, you know, run or bump into me. And it was so cool. All these little shields popped up. Wherever I tried to hit him, if I tried to jump on his head, they would just appear. And it had this metallic sound, like, boom, you know, and then it would bounce.
I know.
Back.
Isn't that awesome?
I love that. And he's like, and if I wanted to, I could, like, bounce you across 3 Sims. I was like, oh, man, I got to get me one of those.
Yes, yes. When mine worked like it was supposed to, the one that I loved the best, was I could tear your avatar apart. I could strip you down to nothing, to your basic avatar, and literally tear it apart into a million little pieces and port you around the sim.
See, that's what I like. I'm going to need that.
That was awesome. I was one of those. You want to screw with me? Bring it. Bring it.
I'm going to need to get one because, yeah, there is drama on Second Life sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not even that it upsets me. I'm just annoyed and bored of talking to the people. So I just wish I could do something to them and tell them, go away.
Well, this one worked quite well when I used it on a guy.
Mm-hmm. We need one of those. And we need some for some stalkerific people out there. Nobody's stalking me today, though. So if you all are in good shape, I don't have to hurt you. Good morning. You're listening to Lunch with Ginger and Corey.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It is Lunch with Ginger and Corey, and I am... your favorite spice. I'm Ginger.
And I'm not a spice. My name is Corey. But I am sexy.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is.
You know what happened when you said that? Remember when I sent you the picture from the grocery store?
Yes.
I said, look who I saw at the grocery store, Ginger. It was a bin of ginger. I don't know why. I have moments in the grocery store, but I was dying laughing. People were like, why is that woman laughing over by the ginger? What is it? It's like, ginger. Never mind. Yeah, okay, so we're crazy.
We are crazy, but that works.
Okay, I'm having a very Parisian brunch / lunch, breakfast, whatever it is.
It's very nice. I just finished eating my Nature Valley Oats and Honey Granola Bar.
We're trying to be good because Jay Duke says all we talk about in the mornings is being naked. Oops, look, I started talking about it.
I'm not naked. I got clothes on.
Well,
I'm wearing my I Love Nerd t-shirt.
Speaks for yourself.
I'm going to need pictures.
Oh, man, it's some there's juicy news. First, oh, God, it is, there is, we tell you it's juicy every morning, but trust me when I tell you this morning, it is just delicious. So, first let me start with our controversy, which I just Twittered. May I, Ginger?
You may go right on ahead.
Well, we got a lovely PR about a new game that came out called Tapas. And the only reason I'm saying is because, you know, it kind of runs together. Sounds like tapas, but it's not. So with further inspection, I found out what the game was about. you have to tap women's butts in a certain order. So Apple, for the one time that I can actually back them and say this was not a good app to be on the App Store, pulled it down. The company has since gone over to Android and released the game. And, yeah, we're about to have a field day with them. We look for you people that make games like this. You are so getting hurt. So we're going to have so much fun with you all over the weekend. I'm going to talk bad about you. And I know you'll appreciate the press.
Yes, because you really want that kind of press.
You'll appreciate the press we're about to give you, I'm sure.
people.
Yes, Jay Duke, somebody said naked.
Naked!
Okay. See? Naked. Okay, well, I got like three or four juicy stories if you don't pick them up.
All right, GamePolitics.com this morning. There is some new research out. Personality, not games, needs to be watched.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. While parents continue to be indoctrinated by the media and interest groups that want to convince them that video games are murder simulators that teach children to be hardened criminals or cold-blooded killers, one psychologist in a new study says it's not the games parents should be concerned with. It's the personality of the person playing them. Wow, common sense. Oh, my God. All right, so new research suggests that more focus needs to be put on the mental state of the players and less on the content of the games they play. Psychologist Patrick Markey of Villanova University says, if you're worried about a video game turning your son or a daughter into a killer, don't worry about that. But if your kid is moody, impulsive, or they are unfriendly, it's probably not the best idea to have that child play violent video games. Yeah, think? Oh my God, I think we've been saying this for like forever. All right, so Markey presented his new research at a meeting of the American Psychological Association. It is one of several new studies in recent months that attempt to unravel the confusion that surrounds video games and their effects on children and even adults. The study he co-wrote was based on responses from 118 participants collected in 2009. Half played violent video games and half played nonviolent games. Markey says, video games are not simply good or bad for everybody, but for some individuals who have certain dispositions, if they play video games, they are much more likely to be negatively affected. Another new study in the Journal of Psychology of Violence noted that violence wasn't the issue. It was more about aggression. Markey said, the study says, it appears that competition in games is what may influence aggression, not the violent content. This is coming from lead author Paul Adachi, whose study was conducted at Brock University in St. Catharines, Ontario. He goes on to say, we found, irrespective of violent content, two highly competitive games produce a more aggressive behavior than two less competitive games. You know, we've been saying this for a while. I'm so glad somebody else who, I don't know, people might actually listen to, because, you know, we don't have psychology degrees.
They won't.
Yes, because, you know, it's the game's fault. It's not, you know, the parents' fault for not getting their crazy kid help.
Ginger!
So what if little Timmy suffocated the kitty? He didn't mean to.
So what if he's been collecting and killing bugs, which is a sign of a serial killer, by the way, for the past 5 years? He's fine.
No. And your parenting sucks. Just so you know.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm very excited about that research. Don't I sound excited?
Yes.
Rawr. Well, Twitter has lost their chief scientist, Abdur Chowdhury. No, he did not die. He left. He was responsible for implementing Twitter search and the recommendations, and he confirmed his departure yesterday. VentureBeat is reporting he is supposedly quoted as saying on his Twitter, "So long and thanks for all the fish. Twitter was an amazing experience. And even greater set of people." He originally joined the community after its acquisition of Twitter search site Summeyes, which he co-founded in 2008 with former Twitter CTO Greg Pass. Before that, he was chief architect of a product on AOL and currently co-founder of math and science-focused independent elementary school Alta Vista in San Francisco. We need you to come on out this way. While it's unclear exactly why he left, it could have something to do with the big changes taking place over at Twitter. Mm-hmm. In case you didn't know, the company recently closed a second $400 million round of funding and is poised to launch a new advertising platform, which we have been trying to get information about for the last 6 months. They will not talk. Twitter's got good lips. They keep them closed.
Yeah,
Hands above the desk, please. Yeah, Twitter, they're good at keeping a secret. Man, I've been harassing them seriously for 6 months. I hear about the advertising. Can we know something about the advertising? Can you respond about the advertising? I see you're now offering the advertising to certain companies. Who gets the advertising? They're not saying a word. They said, we'll let you know. We'll put you on the list to know as soon as we are able to tell you. So, sometimes our fluffy cakes just can't get us in.
No, but we try. We keep trying.
And to answer your question, Jay Dukes, he says, is Tabass something like Simon? Apparently so. What we're upset about is there's no female version. Maybe we want to thump some guys in there.
Yeah, the only way, like I told you earlier off air, the only way I'm okay with this game is if they make us a version where we have to kick guys in the balls in a certain order.
Oh, God.
Y'all going to tap our asses? We going to kick you in the balls.
Because pretty much that's what's going to happen, too.
Ginger, time. Ginger, same time. Ginger, same time. My bad. Next Thursday, tune in.
Not safe for work. Not safe for work.
Our bad. My bad. My bad. She's going to cut me after the show. And I'm blushing now.
Birthday party last night is just dead over. Is there a drink in there?
No, I was totally sober. Totally sober. All right, so I guess I should talk more about games.
Mm-hmm.
Gears of War 3 Vault by Calibro 11 and Epic Games out now. Interactive customized case hits UK stores today. All right, so partnering with Epic Games, one of the premier video game developers in the world, Calibro 11 today releases an exclusive Gears of War 3 Vault, just ahead of the widely acclaimed game which hits the UK shores next Tuesday. Gears of War 3 Vault is a high-end interactive case for the Xbox 360 Slim that features a high-definition bleed-out finish, a controller cradle, and an LED crimson omen that glows red every time a player is downed by an opponent. Ooh. Whilst offering better airflow and stability, the Vault will not void the Xbox 360 Slim factory warranty. Calibre 11's Gears of War 3 Vault for Xbox 360 Slim is available from all good video game retailers today for a suggested retail price of £69.99 London's Franks cookie something. Customized nameplates will carry a suggested retail price of £17.99 London's Franks dollars cookies pounds. More information can be found online at calibre11.co.uk. And if you want to see a picture of the vault, I have it up on Game Matrix right now.
All right. Well, here's the other latest juicy that I got.
Yeah?
So we're all kind of wondering, what the hell is the PlayStation Vita going to do?
Yes. Yes, I want to know. I want to know because, you know, I want to know how much better it is than my Xperia.
Well, apparently you're going to find out because they're also going mobile.
Mm-hmm.
This is over at GI.biz. They're saying, of course, on the face of it, you wouldn't expect PlayStation Vita to have a lot to prove. It's a successor to a console which has sold 70 million units in spite of stiff competition from one of the best-selling success stories of the past two decades, the DS. And it arrives on the market less than a year after the DS botched launch of its own DS successor. It's high-spec, reasonably priced, and lavish with all the hardware design expertise Sony can bring to bear. What's not to love? No. Well, they're saying that at launch time, when the handheld market is just not looking all that healthy, Nintendo, of course, made some shocking missteps with the 3DS. I think one of them was terrible marketing. Certainly, but its mistakes weren't fundamental enough to justify the critical and commercial battering the machine received its first 3 months in the market. I agree. So they're saying the failure, of course, of the 3DS is not exactly going to be good news for Sony. It's a portent for disaster. Mm-hmm.
Disaster.
Yes, they're saying that it would have caused sleepless nights for the firm's bosses if the 3DS had a stunning launch and was selling like hotcakes. But not the case. So it's possible that the PS Vita is going to suffer the same fate. They're saying the Vita, of course, right now is looking uncomfortably expensive, which is could have significantly influenced Capcom's decision to push up Monster Hunter games on the 3DS instead, and the industry is questioning the whole relevance of the handheld sector. Yeah, you guys kind of missed a important boat there. They're saying, of course, the PlayStation Vita, yes, as I said, is going mobile. It's going to be supported by what they're calling reasonably priced pay-as-you-go 3G data plans in Japan, which is a big deal since that kind of plan doesn't actually exist over there at the moment. This is, of course, not as exciting to Europeans who have been used to that sort of thing since the launch of iPad. Well, it's since before then, because most people I know in Europe always had a pay-as-you-go plan on their cell phone, always. Wow, I'm choking, coughing, all kind of craziness going on. The Vita is now officially considered to be a target platform of PlayStation. I'm hearing kind of crazy stuff going on behind me, so if I start screaming, y'all know where to send the police. the second piece of information was something that many of us had assumed for some time, but it never been confirmed. This week, Sony said the Vita will indeed be running games which are created for the PS Suite Android devices. Yay. This means that developers will be able to relatively and easily create games to run on the Vita and your Xperia Play, Ginger, and the Sony tablet devices that they're putting out, as well as any other Android devices, that may decide to support the PlayStation Suite software in their App Store. This may actually help them. Kind of rivals Nintendo, they're saying. So we will keep. Well, we'll keep you apprised. I don't know. This may work out well for them, seeing as Nintendo's very much, we talk about this often, they're very much reluctant to embrace any other technology other than their own. Sometimes it works for them, sometimes it doesn't. And they were due for a failure. Remember, they're kind of like Windows. Every other console is good. Remember, nobody liked the GameCube. Yeah. I was on the fence about it. I have one sitting in the closet because, you know, that's gaming memorabilia there. I will never get rid of it. Just like I said, I'll have my first PlayStation and my Sega Genesis and my Atari 2600. You see, all that's in the closet. Mm-hmm. But I think they were due for something to happen, and they'll come out of it. We keep forgetting things go in, you know, seasons. It was time. It's time for Sony to be on the upside of that. Their failure, ironically enough, you may not believe it, was the PS3. Remember, $600 console? You all out there were screaming bloody murder. I'm not paying $600 for a console when they dropped the price, just like Nintendo's had to do. People, you know, went ahead and bought one. But if you remember at the beginning, people were not that happy. So I think they'll be fine. We'll get a new console from them probably in the next year or two, something completely different. Well, of course we are. Wii U. So Wii U may do extremely well, or it may do horrible. But then we'll get another one after that, and they'll be back on top again. It happens. And Microsoft never seems to suffer any problems. They stick with their formula. It works for them.
Hey, if you got something that works, why break it?
Yep. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly.
I raise my orange juice to you, Microsoft.
All right. It's Friday, and since it's Friday, and it's 5 o'clock somewhere, I got to read this one.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. It's happy hour on your iPhone. Get tipsy with Gigglewater. Binary Dawn Interactive is pleased to announce that Gigglewater, along with its complimentary ad-supported free version Gigglewater on the House, will be released in the App Store on Friday, September 16th, which is today. Yep, it's finally happy hour. And Gigglewater, with its proprietary blot-o-meter and curiously intoxicating beverages, will have players excitedly swinging, swilling, swaying, and swaggering with their iPhones and iPads until last call. In Gigglewater, the fun comes from trying to quench Alfie's thirst. It's
Gigglewater?
Gigglewater.
Mm-hmm. They really reach back to the 20s and grab that?
Yeah.
That's from the 20s.
Yeah. Actually, the screenshots are of a guy from, like, the 20s, too.
Oh.
Got the whole handlebar mustache and the top hat. Yeah,
it's about release there, period. Correct. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, so in Gigglewater, the fun comes from trying to quench Alfie's thirst. It's a humorous, tilt-based, universal iOS game that, in fine Roaring 20s style, the 2D cutout characters get quite wobbly at the local speakeasy while players work to help them pour a decent drink. The game's slapstick humor is great for a quick laugh that you'll want to share with friends. Our main character, Alfie, is a distinguished gentleman in a fancy fedora. Exotic spirits flow generously through the taps at his favorite gin joints, while lively ragtime tunes play in the background. However, just after a few drinks, this dapper chap quickly turns into one tipsy fellow. The app is super simple to use. All you have to do is get a glass of hooch into Alfie's mouth without spilling it. However, there's a catch. The more you drink, the more fun he becomes to control. This amusing and martini-swilling character responds to your iPhone or iPad's tilt, and with each drink becomes slightly more inebriated and uncoordinated.
Now that sounds like fun.
That does sound like fun. All right, so Binary Dawn president and lead developer Rhody Keeley says, we really worked hard to deliver a good-natured, entertaining app that takes full advantage of the iPhone's accelerometer in a humorous way. We developed a fun physics-based control system, and we really hope users will be in high spirits after playing a few rounds. Giggle Water is optimized for Retina display and is a universal app for the iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad. I'd like to say it's not universal until it's on the Android. Just saying. Yeah. All right. So, pricing, Giggle Water will be available for 99 cents in the App Store beginning on September 16th, alongside the free ad-supported version, Giggle Water on the House.
I have got to play that.
That sounds like fun, doesn't it?
That sounds fun. That's innovative. Yes. That's different. That's new. It's better than Tap Pass any day of the week.
Hello? I have muted myself because I'm coughing.
Girl, you know, you can't.
I know I should, but oh my God, coughing my head off still.
There was also a click from somewhere on my desk, and I'm looking around like, okay, what just shut off? What just?
That is horrible when that happens.
Wow. All right, so you guys should also know, those of you who are gamers and women, this is a quick announcement for you. Guess what? There's a Women in Games conference in London, 22nd of
May. Play games? No.
Play games.
We're just really high-pitched voice guys.
Yes. We're all 12-year-olds.
Exactly.
The conference is supposed to focus on career development for women within the European games industry, featuring keynote and specialist speakers giving practical advice on getting into and getting ahead in the industry, where as few as 1 in 15 are women. I'm mentioning this because they're asking if we're coming. Lovely ladies, we would love to join you. However, we need plane tickets and passports for that matter. Can we get a temporary visa, something like that? Do they give temporary passports?
I don't know, but you know, I was thinking about getting my passport the other day. I've not ever actually gotten one. I'll do that.
Yeah, we should probably do that. We're starting to get invited a lot overseas. Not that we would go. Tickets are expensive. If y'all ain't going to pay, we ain't.
You know what? Here, I'll tell y'all this. Y'all want us to go, send us tickets. We'll come. I'll get my passport. Just, you know, set it up. Make sure we get a place to stay.
Look, I'll get a ticket, and then I'm going to need some sleeping pills because I will panic the whole way there. I do not like to fly.
I'll hold your hand. It'll be okay.
You can hold my hand all you want. I will still be upset. I will hold your hand and gripe to you right in your face. Ginger, you felt that bump? Did you feel that bump? We're going down. Ginger, we're going down. Hit me in the head before we hit.
It'll be okay. It'll be okay. You'll take your 3DS and you'll play games.
I don't have my 3DS yet. I'm still racking up my GameStop points. I'm a ream GameStop for all they're worth. They should never have started that point system because I have some for years saved up. I'm telling you, I'm going to walk in and pay for the 3DS, and it's going to cost me $5. Word.
That's so hot.
Yes. Keeping my points.
Please documentary that. Document that. Yes.
I like to documentary it.
Friday, folks, and I'm Ginger, so hey.
All right, well, some of you are going to be very disappointed about your Internet Explorer 10 because it has no flash support. Microsoft Web Browser Internet Explorer 10 will be available in new Metro version, which will not support sites that use flash plugins, according to the company. This sucks. We examined the use of plugins across the top 97,000 sites worldwide, a corpus which includes local sites outside the U.S. in significant depth. This is from Dean Hopf. Dude, I'm not even going to try to say your name. Dean H., Corporate Vice President over at Internet Explorer. He said two versions of IE10 will ship with Windows 8, one on the upside of the standard browser and the other a tiled Metro browser, which will have no plug-in support. He says many of the 62% of these sites that currently use Adobe Flash already fall back to HTML video in the absence of plug-in support. When serving ads in the absence of plugins, most sites already perform the equivalent of this fallback, showing that this approach is practical and scalable. While Safari on iPhone also fails to load Flash content, many browser-based games, including those hosted by Facebook, rely on Flash. This is not going to be good for you. Mr. H over there also points to Google's HTML5 YouTube site and says plug-in-free sites are becoming mainstream. Y'all are going down a bad road. He said there's a steep drop-off in plug-in usage after Flash, with one control used on 2% of sites and a small collection of controls used between 5.5% and 0.75% of sites. Since we expect Flash-based apps will come to Metro via Adobe Air, much the way they are on Android, iOS, and BlackBerry tablet operating systems today. Since we're working closely with Microsoft, Google, Apple, and others in the HTML community to drive innovation in HTML5 to make it as rich as possible for delivering world-class content on an open web, on the open web and through app stores. Of course, the new operating system, Windows 8, is currently still in development and expected to release next year, 2012, late in the year. On one hand, I just thought about this. It's kind of like fashion. They kind of make the software and they tell us what we're going to do with it. On the other hand, we're not like fashionistas. Fashionistas will usually accept it. Oh, it's brilliant. Or they go to another designer. I don't know how this is going to work out because I'm not that fond of, I'm becoming increasingly not fond of Firefox now. With, I don't know what's going on with the processes. Anybody else out there having this issue where you check it and it's like 800,000?
Yes, all the darn time. I've had to restart it twice today because I've done that. And I had nothing else going,
yes,
nothing.
You got three plugins going from Firefox, and it's just, why?
I was irritated. I was not happy. I was like, really?
It crashes and all kinds of stuff. Last night I was in the middle of attacking another city and my godfather, and bam!
That is very annoying.
Plugin crashed. I lost all those soldiers. I just...
Mm-hmm.
All those thugs and arsonists. I'm better shut up. I'm talking too much, aren't I?
That sounds like fun. I want to play. Oh, the sun is coming through my window. Oh, it's bright.
Burn. What you got, Ladybug?
I've got Babes versus Robots. Babes versus Robots for iPhone released. Join the fight to save the world. Tiny Spaceman Media, in cooperation with Pentel Incorporation, has announced the release and worldwide availability of the game Babes vs. Robots for iPhone and iPod Touch. The gameplay is a fun combination of the always popular physics puzzler and of an old-school side-scrolling platformer. Babes vs. Robots features a customized physics engine with Pentel Incorporated. This is the first game powered by the latest engine update, which promises more realistic modeling and action. The game is set in a future where Earth has been conquered by merciless robots. Earth's elite and anti-robot force, the Babes, are called in to fight off the invaders and save humanity from destruction. But when the Babes are captured, their leader, Roxy, manages to escape and become the last chance of survival. Players are put in control of her every move and can only solve each level by thinking strategically and taking decisive action. Ooh, this sounds good. The gameplay has both an element of strategy and an element of arcade action. Each level consists of a 2D platformed environment with obstacles and robots to destroy. Players are given a limited ammunition to accomplish their task and to get as many points as possible. Since each weapon has different strengths and weaknesses, it's vital to choose them wisely. Weapons come in a large variety. Rockets, ooh, grenades, yes, sticky bombs, and
oh,
more.
Sticky, oh, I love me
sticky,
some sticky bombs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Straight to the, anyway. as users progress through the levels, yeah, guys, don't like me when I have sticky bombs, the available ammunition changes, and the game becomes more complicated. Babes vs. Robots is a refreshing take on the puzzle genre with a lot of replay value. John Johnson, executive producer of Tiny Spaceman Media, says, it's been a long process and heaps of work. I've got a cough drop in my mouth, so you got to forgive me. It's been a long process and heaps of work to get this out. I hope people enjoy Babes, Missiles, and Robots. Oh, and my screen just went black. What?
Ginger, did we lose you?
Well, I'm here, but my monitor just went black.
Oh, wow.
That's what I'm saying.
Amazing. How are you still here? Did your monitor die? You killed it?
No, it's...
Okay, let me jump in because Ginger's going to start screaming. Go ahead and mute and cuss at it. Yell at it.
What in the world just happened?
All right, wait a minute. What is happening to my story?
All right, well, I'm going to mute my mic while I
yes,
yell at
it. Go ahead and mute and scream and cuss at it. I got you. I got it. I got this. If I could figure out what my story was. All right. Hang on, guys. We're having a technical difficulty. Please stand by. All right, so you guys have heard us mention Virgin America flights. The coolest flight you can be on if you are a gamer, per se, because they allow games and it's got all the cool blue lighting and it's lovely. Of course, they've been having some issues. Most flights have issues with Wi-Fi. So they usually have no in-flight Wi-Fi or crummy Wi-Fi. Well, a company called GoGo aims to fix that problem with its new ATG4 service, which will deliver wireless speeds around four times as fast as its current service, and it will debut on our favorite gamer airline, Virgin America, in the first half of next year. The company, of course, announced this earlier this week. In other GoGo news, the company plans to expand its GoGo Vision in-flight video rental service on all American Airlines planes with GoGo services in 2012. GoGo debuted its in-flight Wi-Fi service on Virgin America back in 2008, so it makes sense for the airline to get first dibs on the company's new tech. The ATG service, ATG4 service, will improve aircraft Wi-Fi capacity to the plane by approximately four times the current performance through the addition of directional antenna, dual modem, and EVDO RevB technologies. Poor Ginger. GoGo Vision, which launched last month on 15 American airline aircraft, offers passengers access to the streaming library of over 200 movies and TV shows. Videos are stored on the plane, so the service doesn't rely on access to the web. The company announced that it's also extending its introductory price for Vision of only 99 cents per TV show and $3.99 per movie through October the 15th. Additionally, customers will receive a free GoGo Wi-Fi session to use on future flights. I am not sure if you guys can still hear me because we're having some issues, I'm telling you. But I will keep talking because, you know, that's how I roll. All right, so you can check out GoGo. If you get to fly on Virgin Mobile, let us know, because I've been dying to get on one of their flights, but I don't think we have any here in Texas. All right, so some of you out there are waiting. J. Duke says he thinks we heard Firefox's feelings. We probably did, so it just blanked out Ginger's monitor. As she has gone to restart, I do believe she is not a happy girl at all. I do not blame her one bit. Poor Ginger. My poor Ginger. All right. Well, you guys were waiting for it. I just said so. Where can you get Gears of War 3 first? Are you waiting? Are you ready? It's Target. This week, Target guests can find Gears of War 3. It's going to be available Tuesday at 8 a.m. promptly, and other gaming favorites with deals and steals on the best games and consoles through Target's electronics trade-in service, exclusively offered in more than 1,490 Target stores nationwide. Guests can trade in used iPhones, iPads, iPods, your Nintendo DS units, your cell phones, your video games, your calculators, and DVDs, and receive credit good for most Target purchases. This means you can put it toward the purchase of your Gears of War 3. Guests can also receive additional savings and 5% off nearly all Target purchases when you use your Target Red card. So they're calling it the Grab Gears of War 3 for the Xbox 360, available this Tuesday for $59.99. September 20th, you can grab all the accessories you need to enjoy it. You'll also receive a free $10 Target gift card with the purchase of Gears of War 3 and a reservation card for Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 for $1. Yes! Imagine that, because GameStop charges you about $5. So you can go and reserve your copy at Target for $1. You also get a free $40 gift card with the purchase of Gears of War 3, the Xbox 360 bundle, which includes the Gears of War 3 game, a 320-gigabyte Xbox game system, and two wireless controllers for $3.99. Again, that'll also be available Tuesday at 8 a.m. You can also pick up a 12-month membership for your Xbox Live. It didn't say whether it's gold or diamond, but it's going to be $49.99. If so, I'm going to be really upset, because it's like 60-something if you don't get it from Target for the gold anyway. You can also grab the Turtle Beach X11 headset on sale for $39.99. You can also take advantage of Nintendo. They say Nintendo Wii deals for the whole family to enjoy, but they're not saying what. But there is a pack that they're talking about they have, which is the Nintendo Wii Mario Kart bundle, which includes the Mario Kart game, Wii Wheel, Motion Plus remote, and Nunchuck for $134. And you'll receive also with that a $20 gift card from Target. You can also pick up Kirby's Mass Attack for the DS, $29.99, also available Tuesday. This sounds like I should be reading this over like a loudspeaker in the Target. And on aisle 5, you can also pick up a copy of Super Mario Galaxy, Super Paper Mario, and select other Wii titles starting at about $19.99. And to get the big kahuna, Jen,
that's weird. To get the Bitcona, you receive a free $50 gift card. With the purchase of a 4GB Xbox Kinect bundle for $299.99, which includes the Kinect Adventures game, Xbox 360 game, a Kinect sensor, and one wireless controller. So you guys pop over and let us know if you happen to pick that up. It seems like we got our Ginger back, but I really cannot tell unless she's muted. Ginger, are you there?
Oh my God, I'm here. I was like, why can't she hear me?
All I heard was shh. So I knew you were there, but I was like, I didn't hear anything. Did you get it fixed?
I was here. I think so. I don't. All I know is all of a sudden I got an NVIDIA error and like everything went black. And I was like, oh, son of a, I know my car did not just go out.
Oh, see, now I'm going to update my driver. See, people?
Mm-hmm. Exactly what I'm doing after the show.
Time to update the driver.
Wow.
As I thought, well, you know, can never.
That scared me.
Yes, that is a horrifying thing. I'm glad to know that somebody else feels that. Anybody else freak out when your gadgets start not working? And
say, this is my baby. You don't understand. I built her. She's mine.
Mine? My stomach just twists up in knots. You know what? I'm about, while Ginger's doing a story, hopefully her monitor doesn't go out, I'm going to Twitter you guys a picture of my Frankenstein. My girl.
I want to see this.
Yeah, she is Frankenstein out. There is nothing on her. It's just metal. That's, you know, because it's hot in Texas, so I have to make sure she stays cool.
Mm-hmm.
So she's all open and all this stuff.
Yes, what else I'm checking? All my fans are uncovered, right? All my fans look all right? They're all going? Yeah, okay. All right. Poor Ginger. Ginger, no, don't take my computer. All right, Nintendo unveil favorites of Nintendo Life 3DS eShop shelf. Yay! Yay! Nintendo Life, the world's largest independent Nintendo-focused website, is proud to announce that it has been selected by Nintendo to provide recommended downloads on its 3DS eShop. The favorites of Nintendo Life shelf went live in the 3DS eShop on Thursday, the 15th of September, and will run for 1 week. It has been localized into seven languages across Europe, North America, and Australia. This dedicated store shelf highlights must-have downloads that have been handpicked by Nintendo Life's knowledgeable and experienced contributors. Nintendo Life Operations Director Darren Calvert says, "We've worked hard over the past few years to provide expert coverage of all of Nintendo's downloadable games. It's been both a pleasure and an honor to work closely with Nintendo of America and Nintendo of Europe in order to provide the selection of our favorite eShop games, and we hope they will enable 3DS owners to get even more enjoyment out of their console." Right, so Nintendo Life Downloads editor Corby Dillard also adds, "You might assume that it would be quite easy for a group of people who spend so much of their time reviewing games to choose a list of favorites. However, it proved to be a real challenge putting together a final list we all agreed on, especially considering the wide variety of titles available across the various services. Titles such as Shantae Risky's Revenge, The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening, Plants vs. Zombies, and Dark Void Zero."
You're talking about my man, what?
I know, right? "are must-have downloads, and I'm happy that Nintendo Life has been able to bring them to the attention of 3DS owners the world over." All right, so if you want to check this out yourself, you can head over to NintendoLife.com.
Y'all will have to wait for the Twitter picture because my lovely sort of smartphone is like, no, I think we're having some major gadget failure. I think we just need all new gadgets, and we go ahead and make a list and send it out to the companies.
Yes. I like this idea.
We need brand new gadgets, people, please. All right, well.
Send us toys.
We got toys, but just not the ones we want to have.
Send us more toys.
Yes. Well, the Japan gaming industry, apparently, we were talking about this last night, the Tokyo Game Show and stuff. Blaster was saying he didn't feel all that excited about it. Well, Japan apparently is not feeling excited about what's going on in their market, period. Former Team Ninja boss Tomonobu Itagi has, wow, I'm screwing up some names, sorry, has spoken out over his concerns for the next generation of Japanese developers. He says it's terrible. There are no younger generation of prominent Japanese developers coming through. This is what he told Kotaku at TGS. "The young people of today should be confident, even if that confidence comes from nowhere. You should act like it comes from somewhere." He's saying the flamboyant dead or alive, he is the flamboyant dead or alive developer, was well known for speaking his mind. Also said developers shouldn't be scared to take risks. They are, honey. Even masters like Picasso can never please everybody. When you create something, there will always be people who don't like it. Very true. There are people who don't like what I made and say bad things about them. But to me, and to me, that's like a slap in the face. So young people need to be more confident. They have to be willing to crash into something ahead of them, whether people like it or not. Itagi is currently working on the new game, Devil's Third, with his team of at Valhalla Game Studios. And I think he also did Ninja Gaiden. They do? Yeah. You know what? I think I've noticed this a lot. You have a lot of talented younger people that are roaming around in Second Life. We talk about some places they shouldn't be, but there are some kids in there. The one that we keep talking about, which I will eventually, I'm sure I'm, you know, he's almost reached the point where I know he's not crazy if I tell him who we really are. You know, he seems like a good kid, but I think we don't exactly explain to people how is it that you get into the games industry. A lot of them don't know. And this kid does amazing things. If a company hired him and gave him the tools, because the tools in Second Life are, you know, really much scaled down, you know, versions of Unreal Engine and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
If we told them that this is the exact same thing you use at game companies, and he's right, they don't feel confidence, but it has nothing to do with, you know, trying to own it. It's the lack of knowledge. They just don't know. You know, really? I'm doing the same thing this guy's doing when he's making the game? I had no idea. I just thought this was just Second Life. So I think you developers out there in Japan are looking for your next big thing. You need to get in the Second Life. Matter of fact, this kid is actually in Japan, the one that I'm talking about. He's in Japan right now.
That is awesome.
So you have probably somebody brilliant that would just, you know, knock it out of the park every time, but they just don't know. I'm weirdly becoming a mentor to him. I don't want to because I don't know everything, but, you know, I got a gist of this is we go this way. But he had no idea. When I saw what he could do, I was like, why are you not, you know, submitting, at least keeping a portfolio of images of this stuff? This is beautiful work that you do here. Do you understand that you're talented? And he's like, no.
Yeah.
You're very talented. There's people that are going to school and they can't make, you know, things that look this good to put in an actual game. So you need to, you know, do something.
Yeah.
So I think it's a lack of knowledge. Even here, you do have a lot of schools that teach. They're teaching game design. But in all honesty, a lot of the developers and stuff, there was no school. They learned how to do this the same way a lot of you are, and you know, in your room, out in your garage. So you don't necessarily have to go to school. If you need that structure, please do. I'm one of those people, I have to have the structure to start, and then I, you know, I'll kick off. So, but not everybody needs to take the whole class. Jump in there and take a couple classes and go for it. Go make your own game or tell a company, look, I have no degree, but look at what I can do. I got hired for work on a game doing that. I love level design. Ginger will tell you. I drive them all crazy. Y'all all know this from listening to the show. I drive y'all crazy. I go in. I got a gift for it. That's one gift I got. And that's how I got to work on my first game over at play.net was I sent them a level that I built in less than 48 hours. And it was horrible, but they said, you did this in 48 hours. We got to see what you can do when we give you more time. So, yeah, kids out there, jump on it.
That's awesome.
You don't always got to have your degree. Just love it. Stick with it. It's not hard. And, yes, find some confidence in there somewhere. You know what, Jay Dukes? I'm going to tell Ginger what you're saying.
Oh, what'd he say?
Oh, wait a minute, never mind, that was you saying that. He says he doesn't frequent his PC crashes. That gives me a reason to upgrade all of his stuff. You know, it's still the fact that it crashed.
It crashed. It means I have to go buy pieces, parts. And I don't go out to, like, the local Best Buy and whatnot because they're ripoffs. Yes, Best Buy, I just totally called you out on air.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we know you, Ripa, because somebody from Best Buy used to work at Gaminatrix. I'm not going to say her name, but yeah, you all.
Mm-hmm.
And she's pretty high up the food chain. That's why I'm not going to say her name. If she was a lowly floor employee, I would gladly call her. So I don't know if she's still there, and I don't want to get her in any trouble. But yeah, you guys rip off people left and right. It's time for a break.
And when we come back, I will tell you about how a 14-year-old girl changed NHL 12.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
We are Sex Bomb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I hear a voice there, a voice there, the tremor of cold, the feminine of the sun, reaching my threshold, staring at the truth of the blind. My body's stupid, stereo putrid, turning out music, in the road to it, reaching my threshold.
love this song.
Yes, I'm totally sitting here bouncing to it.
I am too, doing my crazy wild hair girl dance.
Nice. We're going to need that recorded.
No. You only need to see that one in person. It doesn't have the same effect unless I can see your face when I'm doing it. I will be on the dance floor doing some crazy stuff and looking right at you, and I look dead serious, and you're like, is she really seriously doing that? I am seriously doing that. Seriously. So, Ginger, tell us about this lovely 14-year-old, because we're on the other side now. I want to hear.
On the other side. Awesome. All right. So, GamePolitics.com this morning looks like they pulled this from Yahoo Sports blog by way of 8-Bit Fix. If it wasn't for a certain 14-year-old girl, women would not be able to create a female persona in NH12. Lexi Peterson from Buffalo, New York, enjoyed playing the EA Sports NHL games over the years with her brother, but could never create an in-game character like her sibling could because there was no representation for women in the game. Most of the time, she simply settled for making a male character with long hair. But prior to the launch of NH12, Lexi decided to try and do something about it. Taking her father's advice to write the company, she wrote a letter to EA Sports COO Peter Moore, explaining why it was important that they create a character mode allowed players to create women. At first, it looked like it wasn't going to happen. Moore explained the complications, including legalities and cost of adding a new feature to the game. But luckily, Moore decided to pass Lexi's letter on to NH12 executive producer Dave Littman. Touched by her request, Littman found a way to get the money and take care of the legalities to add the new feature into the game. Later, Littman contacted Lexi and asked for photos so he could include her as the default female custom character. That's awesome. Mm. All right, so Littman told Yahoo's sports blog, "My first thought was that we want to make people happy with our game, and here's one girl who wasn't happy playing our game." EA Sports NH12 was released Tuesday, earlier this week, which, you know, Tuesday is always earlier this week. They kind of, anyways. If you use the new feature, now you know who to thank for it. Awesome. Way to go, Lexi. That is.
So she found the right person. Peter's very much about getting some girls down in the trenches. Yes. Thank you, Peter.
That is great. And I think that's awesome that they actually added her likeness to the game.
That's what makes it hot.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Good one on you, EA. I'm so English.
Way to go, EA.
Good on you, EA. Let's give you a little bit of applause.
Let's point out, this is true. You did not play the Sims. Yeah.
That's right. I may play some NHL now if there's a woman in it.
Mm-hmm.
I still want me a woman in one of those Madden games.
Ooh.
Or even Blitz the League. It don't have to be Madden. I know they didn't make Blitz the League, but because I love that football game with deep, intense,
yeah,
perverse love. Oh, my God. Put me a woman in it, I will buy every iteration after. I wish.
You wish?
I wish. All right, we got some other interesting
juicy.
And we're done for today. Thank you, Wisconsin. Why, Ginger, why?
I don't know, it sounded good.
All right, how many of you out there been playing the Clone Wars? Clone Wars. Yeah. Well, somebody has. Sony Online Entertainment's free-to-play Star Wars Clone Wars Adventures has hit more than 8 million registered users 1 year after release. This is according to our peoples over at GI.biz. LucasArts announced. Yeah, I wish I could breathe and stuff.
Breathe. Breathe in?
Wow.
Breathe out.
Season changes are not nice to the body. Nope. LucasArts continues to be an excellent partner, giving our team an unprecedented access so that we continue to create a virtual world that expands beyond the storylines of the TV show in fun and creative ways, said John Smedley, who is the president of Sony Online Entertainment. Mary Beer, who is the vice president of global publishing at LucasArts, added that our partnership with Sony Online Entertainment has helped expand the Clone Wars franchise across multiple mediums, making the fan base stronger than ever. Star Wars Clone Wars Adventures has reached the benchmark because of its authenticity to the Clone Wars storyline, immersive gameplay mechanics, and easy online accessibility that caters to both young and old. Other titles from Sony Online Entertainment include Free Realms and, of course, DC Universe Online. And everybody's going, the comments down this page is, I've never heard of it. I hadn't either. So mm-hmm. maybe that's why you only have 8 million users. You needed to drop a little bit of money into some advertising. I had no idea.
Advertising?
Advertising would be good. I had no idea they existed.
Me either.
I'll go take a look at it, and if it doesn't look right, I will not be playing. Sometimes I am about the graphics. You got to have something. Something.
Yeah. All right. I guess it's my turn. Did it. All right. Rocket Bird's hard-boiled chicken nest on Facebook. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. All right. So the official Facebook fan page for the highly anticipated cinematic platform adventure title Rocket Bird's Hard-Boiled Chicken is live, and Rat Loop Asia wants to give you a chance to win a copy of the digital game. Starting today, Rocket Bird's hard-boiled chicken fans can automatically enter for a chance to win a download code for the game when they like the game. When they like the game's Facebook page. Yeah, I'm gonna have this link up on Game and Matrix in a minute. So, anyways, winners will be chosen by random when the game is released. Rocket Bird's hard-boiled chicken will launch exclusively on the PlayStation Network. Actually, they spelled it PlayStation, but anyways, PlayStation Network this October. Set in Albatropolis, a land full of birds taken over by a totalitarian? Yes? Penguin, regime, hard-boiled chicken, the original cod war.
Look, I said it for you, but I was muted. Totalitarian.
Totalitarian, thank you. The original cod war must assassinate. It doesn't help. I'm looking at the picture and trying not to laugh. The original cod war must assassinate the evil penguin leader, Putsky. His mission will unlock the secrets to his mysterious hard-boiled past and uncover the real enemies of Albatropolis through a variety of artistic cutscenes and perfectly orchestrated music videos. And yes, in single-player mode, take on the role of hard-boiled chicken and destroy your enemies with a slew of weapons you collect and unlock in each chapter. Master foul play in the co-op campaign as a pair of budgie commandos on a mission to save the general's daughter. Many lives will be destroyed, countless penguins will die, and an astonishing past will be unveiled through a series of unlockable cutscenes and videos. All right, so Rocket Bird's hard-boiled chicken is rated M for mature by the ESRB. Really? All right. So anyways, yeah, I'm going to have this link up in just a second over on GameAndMatrix.com. Go check it out. The picture for it is making me laugh.
You know what would help if I would talk not muted?
Does it
look like Angry Birds at all?
No. They aren't Angry Birds. They're like attacking pigs or something.
Yeah.
No.
You haven't played it yet?
No, I refuse.
Please don't ever get drawn.
I won't. I refuse to help that evilness. No.
Run.
Yes, I am running the other direction as fast as my little short legs will carry me.
Well, video game publisher Iceberg Interactive and developer Blind Mind Studios are pleased to announce that the intriguing space strategy PC title Star Ruler has now been released in the UK and Benelux retail. I don't know what Benelux is or where that is. Sorry. Somewhere in Germany, because in the next sentence it says, with the German language version retail release now planned for October 7th. The boxed version includes a bonus poster and all updates for the game. If you want to rule the galaxy, every star system counts. In Star Ruler, you take the command of a vast interstellar empire and safeguard your species from total extinction in a unique galaxy, 3D or flat, with as many stars as your PC can handle, even up to 10,000 plus. You prove your species' ingenuity through a deep and intricate combat system where anything from individual components on ships to the stars themselves is a target of opportunity. Twist other empires into submitting to your galaxy-class wit with diplomacy and wheel and deal your way to supremacy. Research new kinds of weapons, engines, shields, and more, all which retain their unique benefits as the game progresses. With a research web whose contents are shuffled every game at your option, exploit interstellar phenomena such as asteroid belts and stars and exploit them for yourself or destroy them to deny your foes. Create and destroy new worlds through advanced technological research. Match your strategy up against up to 10 other opponents online or land-linked. Vast procedurally generated galaxies with unique star systems. I should be telling you, these are the features. Intricate ship design and combat. fighting combat. Massive ship battles fought in real time with particle effects and directional damage. Ship sections can be compromised, destroyed, disabled, repaired, and renovated. Unique research system with unexpected discoveries that vary with every new game. Easy-to-use interface. So they say, complex gameplay. You can govern your planets with a simple yet powerful interface to customize behavior of your worlds, full 3D movement, engaging AI opponents, including non-player factions, extensive modding support, including race, AI scripts, and weapons creation, multiplayer, co-op team, and free-for-all, PvP, all that good stuff Ginger likes. Your server sets the limit of players.
PvP!
It also has built-in IRC chat and its own original soundtrack. This sounds a lot like Spore after you get way past the planet version is what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to look at it here, and I will tell you if it looks like Spore, which kind of got to be boring after a while, to be honest with you. Spore is kind of based on an old game. This guy used to play this game even when I was visiting. Just tells you how much a gamer he was. As hot as I am, he wanted to play that damn game when I was there. And he wouldn't let me play. It was even more annoying.
That's not cool, dude. See, guys, lesson number one, don't ever do that.
Mm-hmm.
You got a gamer girl, you got to let her play.
I think I was just discovering I was a gamer girl, but that is not the point. You should have let me play. I was asking. I was curious. Yeah, it looks, wow, it looks pretty amazing. I may have to check this out. It kind of looks like a more grown-up version of Spore. Spore is kind of, I think, scaled down this part of it once you get off your planet.
Mm-hmm.
But everything that they just said you could do in here you can do in Spore. You can destroy a planet. I forgot what it's called, Planet Killer or something like that. You drop a bomb and it blows up the whole planet. If they don't want to, they don't want to submit to your wishes, you just leave and blow them up. But one thing that they are able to do here, apparently, that was promised to us in Spore that never came to fruition, is that you can play against somebody live. So I do like that.
Mm.
We never got that in Spore. I was looking forward to blowing some of y'all up just because I could.
Just because I could.
I don't even want to take over your planet. It's been like, which one? Is this your planet? Oh, really? There you go.
I played a game like that called O Game, and somebody tried to do that to me. They ruined their fleet. My planet survived, and all of their debris turned into a moon. So I was able to launch a moon base. It was awesome. I loved it.
Wait a minute. I'm going to need a link to this game because, see, I like those. That sounds interesting.
It was like a real time turn based. Well, not a real time. Yeah, I guess it was a real time turn based thing.
It don't matter. I'm gonna need that.
Okay. Yeah, I'll find it. It was fun. I like had my alarm set to wake up at like random times throughout the day to check my stuff to make sure my ships were.
Oh, that's hot.
Well, I'm gonna get crashed. Yeah.
That's hot.
It was awesome. I liked it. All right. We're going to go ahead and get out of here or what?
I think we should go ahead and get out of here because I'm all enamored now with their screenshots. You guys should go over and check this out, iceberg-interactive.com. It's beautiful. This one with the rings of Saturn, it's not super, super beautiful, but it's nice. It's nicer than I expected, you know, usually.
Yeah.
I'm going to need this game. I'm going to need all their games. Damn, what is this we stumbled upon? Oh, my God. I'm going to be over here this weekend. That's what I'm going to be doing. All right. We're leaving. We are leaving.
We're out of here.
We are leaving. We will see you guys bright and early Monday.
Monday.
You guys have a great weekend. Remember, check out our site over the weekend. Sometimes we have interesting stuff going on. Lots of fashion stuff. I like
lots of fashion. Yeah, I know. I got to take more pictures. Oh, I got a new hair today.
Oh.
Analog dog hair.
I cannot photograph today. I have a wedding. That's a wedding. A French wedding.
Oh, that's fine. I gotta go to the, I gotta actually go into town and do some real life shopping. The whole, you know, I need food to survive thing going on.
Right?
Hang with me in my MMO.
What do I do with that picture?
Jen.
Later, boys and girls.